we have seen Ruth as an unbeliever, and Naomi. The focus is on Naomi and her, with her husband leaving Israel to go find help in Moab, and finding nothing but devastation. She goes home, returns to Israel, just in time to find the harvest blessing of God given. And then Ruth, finding Ruth, her daughter-in-law, professing faith in the God of Israel and claiming his people to be her people and the God of Israel to be her God. And then we find that Ruth is willing to sacrifice for her mother-in-law to take care of her, and Boaz provides hope in providing food for the family. And now in chapter 3, the story begins again, or continues, and we are in Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, the word of God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? And now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." And she said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you were a close relative," or more accurately, a kinsman redeemer. Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men with a poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. And now it is true, I am a close relative or a kinsman redeemer. However, there is a relative or a kinsman closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Again he said, "Give me the cloak that is on you and hold it." So she held it. And he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then she said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." O Lord God, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law, and open our eyes that we may see Jesus on these pages. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Ruth, in case you haven't figured it out and you haven't made it clear enough up to this point, is a book, above all, about redemption. Redemption. God is continuing to work out the big picture. The big picture begins, of course, with the original promise that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. It's about Jesus. And the big story is to follow the line of Jesus. If you follow the word seed, and I really think you have to use the Old King James to do it, follow the word seed throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, into Galatians in particular, and you'll find the seed represents Christ and his progress. And that's an important thing to recognize when you study the Bible. Jesus is at the heart of the story. So if you follow the word seed in the old King James, you'll find Jesus clearly set forth progressively and throughout the story. And that's why I can say without apology, this book is about Jesus and his redemption. In this chapter, God continues to work out the big picture, the family tree of Jesus through Ruth and Boaz. To understand this the chapter, you need to define some terms. First, the word levirate marriage. Those words don't appear in this passage, but it's a custom based upon the law. In Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6, which you don't have to turn to, it says, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. In other words, the family line will continue. It may well be that Boaz was actually Elimelech's brother. We aren't told that, but it sounds a lot like that could be the case. Then there's the word redemption. That's the purchase of something by the payment of a price. Now, when I was growing up, I hesitate to ask people to raise hands in their service, but I got to ask this question. How many of you have heard of S&H green stamps? Okay, you know enough about it. You have a book or 3 books or 10 books, 20 books of S&H green stamps. You can get a grandfather clock or something. You trade them in, you redeem the stamps, and you get a clock. Well, there's a lot better redemption in Scripture than that. In our story, this chapter is the story of one providing such a redemption. Ultimately, the one pointed to is Christ, but the person in view is called a Goel, as I mentioned last week, or kinsman redeemer. This is a story, but it is a true story, and every story has a problem. You ever wonder why there are normally 3 points in a sermon? Sometimes you have 2, sometimes 4, sometimes 5. Why 3 points? I didn't understand this till Dr. Ferguson explained it, because the natural progress of a story is a problem, a conflict, and a resolution. That's why there are 3 points in a sermon. You present a problem, you have a conflict, the problem involves the resolving of it, and then there's the resolution. So it is here. And I'm going to follow that pattern in the message this afternoon. This gives us an opportunity, though, here, this chapter, to find out what it means to put faith in Christ. It's a beautiful love story. There's no question about that. This is an older man who's taking on a daughter-in-law who is a Moabitess, but also doing that for the sake of her mother-in-law. It's a beautiful love story, but the main point is redemption, not romance. This story shows us our utter dependence upon Christ by faith. If you like romance, just think of God romancing sinners and bringing them to himself through Christ, or Christ romancing his church and winning them by his laying down his life for them. That's romance. And husbands, that's the standard you got to live up to in a marriage. Laying down your life for your wife. If you're not married, beware settling for anything less than a marriage, because you're cheating your wife. But that's another story altogether. Let's look in the first place at the basic story. Here's the problem. Naomi and Ruth are destitute. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. Wash yourself therefore, Then he said to the closest relative, this would be Boaz, and we'll go over this next week, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother, Elimelech. One reason we think Boaz may be his brother. They have to sell the land. Why? They don't have any money saved. They're broke. She has to go out and glean to get food for them. They are broke. Naomi and Ruth both are destitute. They need to be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer purchasing Elimelech's property and raising up a son to inherit that property to save the family line. Now, the law had the remedy that I've already shared with you in Leviticus 25, 26. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, His kinsman redeemer is to come and redeem what his countrymen has sold. It saves the person from slavery, you see. It saves them from destitution. And so we know from chapter 2 and verse 20 that Boaz is a Goel, but there is a conflict here. Here's the conflict. Naomi has no relationship to Boaz other than the fact that her husband was related to him. And he's not going to marry Naomi. She doesn't expect him to marry her. He could have done that theoretically, but there is an alternative here. Ruth is already in a relationship with him as a gleaner. Here's the romance that comes up here, really. Naomi instructs Ruth on how to gain Boaz's help to redeem the land. Now go back to the chapter. Is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself therefore, anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And here's where Hollywood would take this in the wrong direction. It sounds like she's going in to start a relationship with him. That's not the case at all. This is not a sexual encounter. This is not a romantic encounter at all. That's importing 21st century values into the time of Boaz and Ruth. That's not what's going on here. I know of one interpreter I knew in seminary who thought that was the case. I respectfully disagree with him on this. Approach is everything. And thus her instructions are precise. Notice, do not make yourself known to the man till he has finished eating and drinking, and it shall be when he lies down, you shall notice the place where he lies, and you should go and uncover his feet and lie down. That's not the way to have a sexual encounter. You're going to be down at his feet. Why? Because you're coming as his servant in need of his help. You're taking the lowest place. You're saying, I'm dependent on you. And when she says, cover me with the corner of your blanket or the corner of your garment, that's saying, save me from the trouble I'm in. Be my protector. Keep me from trouble. Save me. This is a plea for help, not a plea for a romantic relationship. Naomi almost certainly taught Ruth about the law before this, because verse 20 of chapter 2, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and dead. The man is our kinsman redeemer. He's one of our closest relatives. He's a kinsman redeemer. She has taught Ruth about the significance of Boaz right here. And so now she is being told, you go to him as our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. You're going to ask him for help, and here's how you do it. And she gives the instructions. You're to go to him at night and so on. And so the conflict is they need a kinsman redeemer. Here's the resolution. Ruth follows through. She goes to him in verses 6 through 9, does exactly as her mother-in-law told her to do. Boaz has eaten and he's drunk and his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of the grain. She comes secretly, uncovers his feet and lays down. In the middle of the night, whoa, what are you doing here? Who are you? It's dark. It's dark. What are you doing here? And that's when Ruth makes a request. The actions and words of Ruth are important. Spread your covering over me as a request to be redeemed and take the place of his servant. I am Ruth, your servant, not your girlfriend, not someone who wants to start a physical relationship with you, but I am your servant. It's really, and the part of Ruth, a proposal of marriage for the purpose of gaining redemption through Boaz. And she's really making two requests, levirate marriage and the redemption of the land, both. Now, the two are tied together, but that's what she's requesting here. And I want to emphasize that because there are people who will misinterpret this. She's asking for a husband to redeem her and raise up a child for her. And Boaz does understand. And that's obvious from verses 10 through 13. He says, first of all, you're very kind. You could have gone after a younger man to do this for you, but you went after me. Is he a geezer? I don't think so. He's probably younger than me, maybe in his 40s, maybe in his 30s, but she's a young lady. Okay, that's number one. Number two, don't be afraid. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in this city know that you're a woman of excellence. But Boaz is also a just man. He knows the law. He can't do this just yet because he says, there's someone who's even a closer relative than I am who has the right of redemption here. There's someone who should be considered first. Now, if he won't marry you, I will. But first, we have to follow God's law. So this is a just man. Boaz is going to follow the letter of the law. How Christ-like. How Christ-like. Christ followed the letter of the law to redeem his people. And here's Boaz as a type of Christ, reflecting Christ in his approach. So remain the night when morning comes. If he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. I will step aside and you'll find the redemption you need. I'll be content to see you and Naomi redeemed. But if not, I will redeem you as the Lord lives. And that's a promise by an oath. I will, as the Lord lives, redeem you if he will not. Lie down till morning. And of course, he's just. He doesn't want Ruth's reputation ruined. So he says to his servants, obviously, don't let anybody know that a woman came here. We want to protect this woman's reputation. And he gives her all that grain to take home for herself and Naomi. That's a pledge. I'm ready to take care of you and do whatever is necessary. If that means giving you to someone else, I'll do that. If it means marrying you myself, I'm more than happy to do that. This is a just man. He's a righteous man. And only a righteous man can redeem anybody. Again, Christ. He had to be righteous to be able to redeem us. And so he follows through. But this is a story with a to-be-continued tagline to it. Look at verses 14 through 17. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 18, rather. Then Naomi says to her, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has it settled today. If you're watching this on a film, it says to be continued. What's going to happen? No. Now, will Boaz or will the other guy get to marry Ruth? That's where you're left at the end of this story. But what a picture this has of Christ. Christ is every bit as determined as Boaz to give a positive response to any sinner fulfill the demands of the law. Any sinner who comes to him, he's as willing as Boaz having fulfilled the law, to redeem the person who comes to him. If you don't know Christ, he's the one you want. You may look to men to help you on this earth, and men may help you, but Christ will never disappoint you. And Christ can supply all of your needs. What a picture this chapter is of a sinner asking Christ to save him or her. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and covered me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. That's what Isaiah said of Christ and delighting in Christ. And this is a picture now of Christ working to save through the law, not in spite of it. Christ didn't save in spite of the law, but kept the law to do the redeeming. And this story then is about a sinner who seeks redemption. Redemption by a redeemer according to the law. It's the only kind of redemption the Bible knows of. This story, my friends, is meant to be your story. You are Ruth. Every one of us in this room is Ruth. You want and need redemption. And is found in your Boaz, who is Jesus Christ, in fact, a man of strength. Boaz means strong man. And this is the story of the strong man who saves you. Now, the problem is a problem in conflict and a problem, a conflict, and resolution in your story of redemption. The problem is you're a sinner who needs redemption lest God condemn you for your sin. Everyone begins life in that situation. You're a sinner in need of redemption. And then there's conflict. How can a sinner, by definition, a breaker of the law, find redemption through the law? You can't go to the law and say, I'll keep it, because you can keep the law. You'll fail to keep the law, but if you don't keep the law, you're finished. And the resolution is Christ was born under the law, fulfilled the law actively and passively. He actively kept it and then passively obeyed it by allowing himself to be convicted and sentenced to death and then dying in order to redeem sinners. And so this story teaches you how to seek redemption. If you don't have redemption, if you're not a redeemed sinner, I would like to think you'll leave the service as one, as a redeemed sinner. Realize that the only way to be saved is to exercise faith in God's Redeemer. Shorter Catechism, question 21. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize that you are conceived to sin and condemned by God. Without hope, without God in this world, you need to be redeemed. You need a Redeemer to save you from your sin. And so the answer is to put your faith in the only Redeemer of God's elect, your kinsman Redeemer, your Goel, Jesus Christ. He is your kinsman. He is fully man, but he is also fully God, and as the God-man came to redeem sinners. How do you exercise faith then in God's Redeemer, Jesus Christ? Three elements from our story are needed. First of all, knowledge. The knowledge of who Christ is. Being the eternal Son of God, he became man and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. You also need to know what he did. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the law. He died for the sake of your sin in your place. And he rose from the dead. And you need to know God's offer of salvation to all who put their faith in him. So you need knowledge. You also need assent. You must actually believe God's offer. You've got to say, you know, that makes sense. You need to believe God's offer of forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ to be the true and only way of salvation. You can't go to Jesus and say, well, I'm going to do my best. Will you save me? You've got to say, you're the only one who can do your best and succeed in saving me by obeying the law. I can't do it. And then there must be trust. Humble yourself and say, I can't do it, and trust in Christ alone, not in yourself, not in your faith, not in your church, not in anyone or anything else, but trust in Christ alone. And he in turn will redeem you from the need to keep the law, redeem you from the need to earn salvation, and he can save you then from the consequences of your sin, namely the wrath and condemnation of God. This is a love story, the eternal love story of the eternal Son of God who came to earth to be your kinsman redeemer. All those who humbly come to Jesus as their redeemer may sing the same song of praise. Nothing in my hands I bring, naked come to thee for grace, helpless come to thee for dress, foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Thou must save, and thou alone. It's Christ alone who can save you and redeem you from the need to keep the law and earn your salvation and from the consequences of your sin. Is that true of you this afternoon? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in all his work and none of your own? Perhaps it is true of you, but you still struggle with remaining sin, as every Christian does and really must as long as they're in this flesh. Then go to Christ and ask him to continue to perfect his redemption in your life. You need no other righteousness. You need no other plea but that Jesus Christ has died for you and he ever pleads for you. Ask him for grace. He will surely give it to you. And if you've been given that grace, thank God for his free gifts and rejoice. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for the sufficient love and grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him there is need for nothing of our own, because we have everything in Christ.